The Spring Institute for Intercultural Learning envisions a world where all communities embrace the inclusion of newcomers who enrich our society with their cultural diversity. And Spring has been successfully working toward this goal for the last 46 years. Greetings again. I'm Adam Morgan. Spring Institute is the region's leading translation and interpreter of over 100 languages for businesses, nonprofits, and governmental organizations. Coupled with this, add adult and career education for the new international arrivals, resource navigation, early childhood education, and youth engagement. Spring Institute for Intercultural Learning has a full palette of programs supporting both refugees and domestic Americans. On this edition, we learn more about this unique organization as we continue our conversation with its president and CEO, Ms. Paula Schrieffer.
Yeah, it's really shocking when people were thinking of the implications with the way that executive order was written. It even seemed to imply that Native Americans would not automatically be U.S. citizens. So it's just, it's hard to know what the thinking was there.
Yeah. Now, I guess Congress is working on putting together a new budget and that kind of thing. What kind of impact will these changes have to nonprofits like yours?
Yeah, I think that's one of the scare tactics out there, and that may end up, in fact, being backed up by policy. But one of the things that the executive orders seem to indicate was that nonprofit organizations who assist immigrants, and it's not clear whether it's all immigrants or immigrants who maybe have an asylum claim pending, maybe then as yet undocumented, that those organizations would be subject to audits and have their federal funding rescinded or at least seized during such audits. So there does seem to be a real financial, at least, threat out there to nonprofit organizations. And certainly I will say that programs that are federally funded that are designed to provide integration support to immigrants and refugees has already been cut. So we know that there will be a loss of, at a minimum, federal funding that is specific to helping immigrants and refugees integrate. And we do worry that additional financial impacts will be had because of these audits or frankly, what are attacks on nonprofit organizations that attempt to provide support to immigrants. So, groups like Spring Institute and our amazing partner organizations are going to have to rely more and more heavily on private donations and foundations to be able to continue the important work that we do.
Because some of that work is adult education and career coaching to help immigrants better settle themselves and become a part of the American fabric.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, so many immigrants come to us with tremendous skills and experience, but we make it really difficult for them to have their credentials recognized here in the United States, or maybe they also need to improve their English skills to be able to be hired in important positions. So organizations like ours and many others provide English classes and career coaching and assistance with individuals to get, for instance, their healthcare credentials evaluated so that they can get relicensed. And, you know, we really need these folks. I mean, we here in the state of Colorado, for instance, we have entire counties that don't have a single physician working in those counties. And so if we were able to get some of these amazing immigrants, educated immigrants who were doctors in their own countries relicensed here, they could fill some of those gaps. Likewise with nurses or other important professions where we're really suffering gaps, and yet we have talented, skilled people who can fill those roles.
I tell you, one of the wonderful things that you're doing at the Spring Institute is your early childhood education program, and you call it HIPPIE. That's really nice.
Yeah, so this is home instruction for parents of preschool youngsters.
Ah,
it's an amazing,
it's
actually, just rolls right off the tongue. It's a nationally recognized program And actually, this program, you know, is not specific to immigrants at all. It's just a program that helps provide basic literacy and education to parents of young children mm-hmm. who might not be able to enroll them in preschool, either for financial or transportation means. But we still want to get those kids prepared to enter kindergarten and have and learn some of those early literacy and socio-emotional skills that they need. And so this is a wonderful program where our home visitors can go directly to the home of a family and work once a week with that parent and provide them reading tools and educational materials to get those kids ready for school. And the program, again, it really is used throughout the country very successfully, primarily targeting low-income families who are not necessarily immigrant, but yeah. Our program really focuses on non-English-speaking and non-Spanish-speaking families because there are quite a few programs that serve those communities already. So it's really a neat, unique, wonderful program that sets these kids up for success through their whole educational career.
You have to tell me about Colorado Welcome Back, because it sounds like people who lived and worked here went abroad for work and then they came back here. Is that what that means? They went someplace else and they probably worked in healthcare and you welcoming them back home to do the same thing here?
Yeah, well, the welcome back there is really welcome back to their profession. And so this program is kind of what I was talking about before, where we've got these highly educated, trained healthcare workers yeah. who received their education abroad. Now, most of them, of course, are immigrants. And so they were educated in their countries and they've immigrated here to the United States. Some of them were Americans who went and got their education abroad. But regardless, they have these valuable skills that we need. And so mm-hmm. we help welcome them back into their careers through that career pathway, education, coaching, and training.
Is this related to the Colorado WHIP, the work for international physicians you're doing with Denver Health?
It is. That is a part of this program uh-huh. that specifically focuses on physicians, because physicians have the most difficult pathway of any healthcare workers in getting relicensed. And so we've done a lot of work not only helping individual physicians get their credentials evaluated, study for and pass their board exams, study for and pass their necessary English exams, help them with their applications applying to residency. We still saw that many of them struggled to match to residencies, which unfortunately is a requirement that they do that all over again, even if they were a practicing physician for many years in their country. Yeah, and so this COWIP program that you were mentioning, we do this in partnership with Denver Health, and Denver Health actually runs a clinical training for a select group of these competitively selected doctors mm-hmm. To increase their chances of matching to residency when they're ready to apply. So it's a really neat program. It just started a year ago.
Oh, it's just a year old.
We're just
then.
Starting our second cohort. Yeah.
You also have youth programs now. I think your website said youth 5 to 26. That's a whole generation spread.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, we really see that our immigrant and refugee youth oftentimes, you know, can really struggle with their mental health, their behavioral health, their physical activity. A lot of them, you know, when they come here or they're resettled here, they're resettled in very poor neighborhoods that often have heavy levels of crime and are not particularly safe for young people or for anybody to kind of get outside. We have kids who've lived in Colorado for years and years, and they've never been to the mountains. They've never enjoyed any of the amazing things that our state offers. So we provide a range of activities that, you know, include physical fitness activities, running clubs, hiking clubs, camping clubs, but also behavioral health assistance through things like animal therapy and art therapy, as well as referrals into actual mental health services to help these kids adjust and experience Colorado to the fullest and then be as successful as they can be.
Well, I tell you what, you know, the information that you're giving us regarding the activities of the Spring Institute should be letting everyone know that immigrants are just not showing up here, just hanging out, trying to get social services. You all are working to make them an active part of our state and contributing to the needs that we have here, and probably in many cases contributing more than native-born Americans are doing, which is really great to know that you're doing this.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we really think working, the work that we do, it's an investment, and it's an investment that really pays off for our communities and for our country as a whole.
I know you have your Beyond Inclusive groups where you're turning cultural barriers into opportunities so that immigrants coming can't, their language and cultures don't become a barrier to them getting ahead and actually being able to enjoy the kind of life that they came here for.
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And you do some advocacy in Washington and on the at the state capitol here as well. So you keep an eye on the legislation that's coming through that will help benefit immigration and help set things in the correct direction.
Yeah, we really recognized, you know, a number of years ago as we were starting to see some of the anti-immigrant rhetoric breaking out in the United States, and for the first time, anti-refugee rhetoric. And we really recognized that we needed to do a better job of both educating our public about the benefits of our immigrant and refugee population, but also working with our legislators to make sure that they're passing policies that really allow this population to contribute in a meaningful way. So we've led the efforts on some bills to expand adult education in our state, to decrease barriers for doctors through that co-whip program that you had mentioned. But we also try to join coalitions with groups that are working on issues that we know disproportionately impact our community. So we've worked on a lot of early childhood education bills and ensuring that the immigrant and refugee community is included in things like the new universal preschool program. Mm-hmm. We've worked on issues like ensuring that our refugees are able to access in-state tuition immediately upon being resettled to make sure that they don't lose the opportunity to further their education.
Are you seeing among the general public one of the key problems regarding immigration is that the general public just has a whole bunch of misinformation that they're acting on when all the other things are going on and that they know nothing about? So we have to do a better job of getting the true information and the true directions that are going on to make immigrants a part of America to offset the misinformation that they may be hearing then.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. We really need to be doing a better job, and that's why I really appreciate you, Adam, you know, for responding to our press release about the orders and taking the time to have this conversation with me and give me an opportunity to talk a little bit about some of the real information and data regarding this important population.
What can citizens do to help or support the work that the Spring Institute is doing to make you all more successful with the help that you're extending to immigrants that show up here in Colorado?
Well, there's a number of ways. I already talked about, you know, letting our policymakers and our legislators know that you support immigrants in Colorado. And then specifically for Spring, we do have a number of volunteer opportunities. And of course, you can always donate on our website, because as I said, we're going to really need to see an increase in private and foundation funding, probably to compensate for some of the federal and state funding that very likely is going to be going away over the next couple of years.
She is Ms. Paula Schrieffer, CEO and President of the Spring Institute for Intercultural Learning. We do thank her for her insights and time again for this edition. I'm Adam Morgan. Do keep in touch, and many thanks to you as well for sharing a few moments of your weekend with us.